But the problem with the bomb is very simple. We're talking about technology, and the 17-year-old fellow in Detroit came very close to building a bomb the other week. There was a story on him in the Financial Times, all by himself. So I'm afraid the cat is out of the bag. So rather than disarmament, which would have been ideal, which was possible 30, 40 years ago, I'm afraid the most peaceful alternative would be for, and I hate to say it, but it's because it's the second best, but the most peaceful alternative would be for every nation to have the bomb. So the Israelis have come to the conclusion that the Iranians having the bomb will simply lead to a situation of deterrence, and just as there was no nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union from 1947 or 1949 down to 1990, there will be no nuclear war if every nation has the deterrent.
Well, but so, the war party says that the mullahs that run Iran are completely irrational and think the 12th Imam is coming back, and that therefore they're suicidal and can't be dealt with.
Well, they may be, it's too late for that. Besides, there's probably as much irrationality among the mullahs as there is among the rabbis, because the rabbis also believe in a cataclysmic end of the world, and evangelical Christians believe in it. And all it is an argument against all religions and politics. But short of that happening, and I don't think it's going to happen soon, I think it's too late now for the non-proliferation route to be followed. According to the UN, 30 or 40 nations can build a bomb, and 30 or 40 nations will build a bomb. The Pakistanis have it, the Indians have it, the Chinese have it, etc. The Iranians will have it soon. If they don't already, the North Koreans have it. So, you know, that's the nature of the world. And if the United States had 30 or 40 years ago seriously embarked on disarmament, this wouldn't be the present situation.
The UK has had enormous problems in the privatization of railroads. They privatized the railroads in such a way as one company owned the roadbed, another company owned the cars, another company owned the management. And when there's a problem, each blamed the other. And the result have been enormous amount of, there have been a large number of crashes. The quality has not been what it should be. There has been general dissatisfaction with this kind of privatization. I was involved in one of the privatizations of the United States, which I thought was also not a model. In fact, it was a model of how things should not be done. The United States, at one time, there was a joke that when Thatcher was privatizing so many industries in UK, Reagan felt very embarrassed because he had nothing to privatize. In America, there were very few government enterprises. He privatized a $2 million Texas plant making helium. But that's nothing to compare with what Margaret Thatcher was doing in the UK. Well, in the late 80s, somebody came up with an idea of privatizing. So that's something that the United States could privatize that very few other countries could privatize. Why don't we privatize making atomic bombs? There are only a few countries that make atomic bombs, and no one has even thought of the idea of privatizing making atomic bombs. Well, I'm exaggerating, but exaggerating just a little bit. The idea was not privatizing making atomic bombs, but privatizing making the enriched uranium that is the critical ingredient. We've all been following the enormous controversy about Iran. What is that controversy about? It's about our worry about Iran making enriched uranium that could be the critical ingredient in making an atomic bomb. The joke is that once you have that critical ingredient, you can look up on the internet how to make the rest of the atomic bomb. Many of us thought it was not a good idea to turn over making enriched uranium to a private company, because the private company maximizing its profits would probably sell it to a rogue state. We don't want profit maximization in the sale of enriched uranium. We want strict controls. And yet, both the Bush administration and the Clinton administration went ahead with the privatization of making enriched uranium. What made it particularly unsavory was the fact that the Clinton administration had come up with a brilliant idea of converting warheads into swords into plows, converting the warheads of nuclear missiles into de-enriched uranium, which could be used in atomic power plants. So you'd have them ship this over to the United States, de-enrich, using private power plants. So it could not be used for weapons. It's a brilliant idea. But then they made one mistake. They said, we'll turn over the responsibility for importing to the U.S. Enrichment Corporation. But once we privatize, the incentive of the U.S. Enrichment Corporation was not to have this flow, this additional flow of enriched uranium. Because with this additional flow, the price of enriched uranium would go down, their profits would be lowered. So their incentive was to keep it in Russia, to keep it in the form of nuclear warheads. They said, trust us. We will do what's in the best interest of the United States and the world. I said, I understand economic incentives. And your whole argument for privatizing is that economic incentives are going to lead you to do the right thing. But in this case, economic incentives are going to lead you to do the wrong thing. And then we uncovered a secret deal in which this U.S. Enrichment Corporation was offered by Russia that it would accelerate the transmission of this enriched uranium to the United States for de-enriching. And the U.S. Enrichment Corporation responded by saying, no, we'll pay you $50 million, go away. But you have to promise to be secret about it, because if this became known, the whole thing will blow up. Fortunately, somebody leaked the information to my office, and it caused an enormous, as you could expect, an enormous amount of a political scandal in the United States. But nonetheless, they went ahead with privatization.